Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. For a deeply traditional institution that often measures the import of events in centuries, if not millennia, this morning Pope Benedict XVI moved with lightning speed.
The ultimis mensibus in me, modo tale minuitur, ut incapacitate meam administrare mihi commissum bene administrandum annos redibiam.
The frail 85-year-old Pope Benedict acknowledged both strength of mind and body are necessary, and then said, I have had to recognize my incapacity to adequately fulfill the ministry entrusted to me.
With that, the Pope announced his resignation, effective February 28th. This hasn't happened in 600 years. Roman Catholics worldwide are still in the early hours of trying to understand why it happened and what it means. Here in Boston, epicenter of the clergy sex abuse crisis, the questions carry special importance and urgency.
So, Boston Catholics, what's your reaction to the Pope's surprise resignation? The Boston Archdiocese asks parishioners to pray for Benedict and for the whole church. So what's your response? What would you tell the College of Cardinals as they begin their search for the next leader of more than 1.2 billion Catholics worldwide? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston.
We'll start today with reaction from the laity here in Boston. WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyeroff was out speaking to members of the Catholic Church and joins us now. Hi there, Monica.
Hi, Meghna.
So what are people saying?
Well, they're shocked, like the rest of the world was, at the suddenness of this resignation. But most of the people I spoke with think that it's a positive development for the church. They think that it's healthy for him to step down if he's not able to do it. And it's healthy for the church to move on as well. Here is Sister Gil Goulding, who I met at Boston College.
I think that it shows those characteristics of true humility, courage, and holiness. I think he's been a great pope. I think it's sad. But I think, in a sense, it moves us forward. The Holy Spirit will take us on to the next round. So I have great faith in what is to come, too.
Well, there were some people, too, though, who were not that happy with it. A divinity student at Boston College says it really calls into question the history of the church, and it looks like he's jumping ship. Those were her words, because the church, she said, is falling apart. And then there was another woman I spoke to going into Mass in Newton who said the church needs a leader now and that she feels like the church is losing everything. And she feels like if the Pope thinks he should resign, then 90% of the world should resign from living because, she said, we all have a job to do right up until the end.
Oh, interesting. So, Monica, Boston is, of course, one of the epicenters of the worldwide clergy sex abuse crisis. What are victims and advocates saying about Ratzinger? He was Cardinal Ratzinger, I should say, Pope Benedict XVI stepping down.
One victim I spoke with and a group that helps victims said they're basically happy to see him step down because they feel he's been responsible for covering up the sexual abuse scandal, moving around priests. He knew about it in his previous role when he was Cardinal Ratzinger before he became Pope. And they also suspect that something negative about this Pope is going to come out later. Here is Anne Barrett Doyle. She's the founder of Bishop Accountability, bishopsaccountability.org, the website that tracks priest abuse and the cover up. And they've tracked it all the way to the Vatican. She also thinks that there's more to this story.
It's just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many more revelations to come that I think it's very possible that he knows of something on the horizon that finally was the tipping point and just caused him to resign.
Now, of course, Monica, I'm curious to know about any official response so far from the Archdiocese of Boston.
We just had a statement from Cardinal Sean O'Malley, really praising the Pope for his faith, courage, and leadership, and also remembering the time that he came to the United States in 2008 and met with survivors of clergy abuse. And Cardinal O'Malley said that it was clearly evident that he was committed and determined to heal the wounds of clergy abuse survivors. And he'll be speaking more about this tomorrow.
WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyeroff, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Listeners, we are talking about the surprise announcement from Pope Benedict XVI that he will resign come February 28th. That's what, just about 2 weeks from now, and the impact that that will have on the worldwide Roman Catholic Church and also on Catholicism here in Boston. Attendance rates at churches are at almost all-time lows here, roughly 17%. Do you think that the Pope's resignation is a good thing for the Catholic Church? And what do you think it means when a post that was previously seen as to be for life now apparently is one that you can resign from? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're joined now by a couple big thinkers on this topic. Let me begin by introducing Professor Francis Schussler Fiorenza. He's the Stillman Professor of Roman Catholic Theological Studies at the Harvard Divinity School and was also one time a student of Pope Benedict. Professor Fiorenza, welcome to Radio Boston.
Yes, thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you today. Also with us is Professor Matthew Schmaltz. He's an associate professor at the College of the Holy Cross, where he writes and teaches in the fields of comparative religions and South Asian studies. Professor Schmaltz, welcome to you.
Great to be here.
Professor Fiorenza, you were a student of Pope Benedict before he was the Pope. What's your reaction to his announcement of this resignation?
Well, I think it's positive insofar as, obviously, you know, everyone normally retires in their jobs at a certain age. And the previous pope, the last months of his life, was so ill that he couldn't really carry on the functions. So I think by retiring, as everyone does in life, from jobs, it's a positive sign of acknowledging one's own limitations rather than.
But I have to ask you, this hasn't happened in 600
years. And then it only resigned because that was a way of getting the church to be reunited because of a schism. So in that sense, it is very unique.
And so, I mean, and Professor Schmaltz, I'll turn to you in a second, but Professor Fiorenza, because, I mean, you've had close contact in years past with the man who became Pope Benedict XVI, he never struck anyone in the Vatican as being, a person who, a Catholic who would flout tradition necessarily, and yet here he's doing it in the most spectacular way. Why do you think, I mean, beyond the frailties of his body, his mind didn't show any signs of frailty, so what do you think might be behind this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know there are people looking for an ulterior motive and, you know, saying something going to come out of the Los Angeles files that might embarrass him, and that's why he's stepping down. I doubt that's the reason. I mean, he has said in interviews that he would, you know, if he felt not able to do the job and that up to it, he would do it. Now, for me, I saw him when he used to come to class riding a bicycle and would drive a mile or two to class on a bicycle, get off his bicycle and start to teach. And when you see he has to be wheeled around in a cart in order to make the steps in the Vatican ceremonies and be helped up a couple of steps, he's obviously within the last year become very, very frail.
Hmm.
And I think it's a logical sense that when you're not able to do a job as well, that you step down and let someone younger. I mean, he would be 86 when his birthday takes place on, April 16th or 17th.
Professor Schmaltz, let me bring you in here. What impact do you think that the suddenness of this announcement is going to have on the Roman Catholic Church worldwide?
Well, I think, obviously, attention is going to turn to potential successors, and because there won't be a great time separating Pope Benedict's resignation and the conclave, cardinals are going to be forced, at least initially, to turn to figures that they already know well. And so it increases the likelihood that a familiar face will emerge as the next pontiff, as opposed to someone from the Catholic South, someone from Asia or Africa or Latin America.
Mm. Now, let's talk
Can I just say, I would disagree with that slightly. In this sense, I mean, I agree with basically what he's saying, but some of the names that are being mentioned, Torgerson from Africa is head of the Justice and Peace. Someone from Brazil is also present in the Vatican. So the Vatican has a habit of getting some of the people from third world places and giving them jobs in the Vatican so they know what's coming on. So I could see us at the church appointing someone from the third world and yet being familiar to people because they have some Vatican experience.
Oh, so you do think it's a possibility?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, because this is one of the sticking points of that people have long struggled with, especially in the past generation. That here we have the Catholic Church. You know, it's an organization, a religious organization, with more than 1.2 billion people around the world, whose greatest growth was being seen, you know, in developing countries, and yet the faces, the leadership of the church was largely, you know, a European hierarchy.
That's right. And we have all the accusations of European colonialization of the other parts of the world. So I think it would be a very positive step if we did have a non-European. But I think some of the candidates are known, and they have some, so to speak, Vatican experience. Mm.
Professor Schmaltz, sure, go ahead.
I just returned from India, where I was at a conference with several Indian cardinals, and I think the distinction would be made between non-European cardinals who are situated within their local home diocese and so forth, and those who are working out of the Vatican. And one of the real issues facing the global church is how one negotiates the relationship between the Vatican and Rome and national bishops' conferences. And so the dynamics here are very, very complex, and we'll see them play out in interesting and unexpected ways in the next few weeks.
Yes, I agree with that 100%, and that's going to be the real challenge.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask both of you. There's a fundamental question and a tension that I want to explore with you, because when the man who was then Cardinal Ratzinger was elevated to the position of Pope the day before his election to become Pope Benedict the 16th, he basically gave a speech in which he denounced, you know, modernity and modern trends. I mean, he said, quote, "We are moving toward a dictatorship of relativism, which does not recognize anything for certain and which has as its highest goal one's own ego and one's own desires." He said that in 2005. This morning, he says, quote, "In today's world, subject to so many rapid changes and shaken by questions of deep relevance for the life of faith, in order to govern the bark of St. Peter and proclaim the gospel, both strength of mind and body are necessary." Professor Schmaltz, there was a very interesting comment that came out of Italy. The editor of La Repubblica, the paper there, said that this is evidence of what he called, quote, "the eruption of modernity into the papacy," that you can't hold a hard line anymore, even if you're Pope. Do you agree with that?
I think it's certainly an eruption of modernity in the sense that the Pope has always struggled with being a media personality, and the way in which the Church has to articulate its messages or multiple messages, has to adapt to a world of a 24-hour news cycle, of internet and Twitter. And certainly the Pope, as a professor and an old school professor as that, has been behind the curve. And so I wouldn't necessarily interpret those comments as backpedaling on his fundamental positions. I would, however, interpret them as an acknowledgement that the contemporary context in which the church finds itself is radically different than anything that he was prepared for.
And in fact, we've seen this, we've heard this from the laity for the past many years. I mean, I was fascinated to see, for example, today on the Facebook page for the Boston Archdiocese, there was a comment from a gentleman named Francis Landry from Leominster, and he said, he commends the Pope for his decision. He was elected when he was 78. Now he's 85. But then Francis Landry goes on to write, "He was astute enough to understand his limitations, both physical and mental. Given the challenges the church is facing now, they need a much younger prelate who is very well educated and in tune with the times." Professor Fiorenza, I mean, does that mean that being in tune with the times means a different sort of not just common touch with the laity, but an entirely different take on, you know, what the purpose and leadership of the papacy is?
You know, I think so. I think he has not, you know, really taken into account religious pluralism on a worldwide basis and how much of an impact that is having. And I think that's going to be something that in the future the church is going to have much more seriously to take. Seriously, I thought the reference to social media was interesting. When he became the cardinal in charge of the Holy Office, or the Congregation of Faith, he said to one of my teachers, another teacher in Munster who had been his colleague, "All they have there is a Cyrillic typewriter. They don't even have an electric typewriter." and he complained about how backwards the office was. And I thought, when he got the job, he's complaining about the non-existence of electric typewriters in the Vatican. And now we've moved to social media.
Mm-hmm.
So within that span of 40 years, the whole world has radically changed.
Well, radically changed, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is there you can change the trappings of how a leader of both, here we have, a worldwide church and effectively, an independent country vis-a-vis the Vatican. You can change how that presents itself to the world. But what about, the genuine crisis of faith, which the Pope himself seemed to be talking about in his resignation speech today, that he was not the man to confront that head on? I mean, Professor Schmaltz, is that what you heard in part of what he was saying?
In part, and I think perhaps he's recognizing that his gifts are intellectual gifts. He's a writer and writing very theologically complex works that are challenging on a variety of different levels. In this day and age, too, I think, not only because of the media, but because of the needs of individual Catholics, there is a real yearning for a personal touch and for a pastoral sensitivity that Benedict himself perhaps did not possess, being the scholarly teacher pope that he was.
I think there's a lot of truth that he thought becoming pope by actually writing encyclicals and writing books that were not condemnatory but more explanatory, that would win people over. And I think having done it, having written the books on Jesus that he did, having come out with several important encyclicals, he realizes that is not enough.
Mm.
What I'm impressed with, if you look at it, some studies, that at the end of World War II, 8 out of 10 Catholics, or 9 out of 10 Catholics, married fellow Catholics. The proportion has been the reverse today, where they're marrying people of other faith, both not only Christian, but even non-Christian. And with that switch, the whole question of religious pluralism is coming right into the hearts of people. And that's something that I don't think Ratzinger was equipped to deal with.
Mm. Listeners, we are talking about the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI and his surprise announcement that he made just this morning. If you're a Boston Catholic, what did you think when you heard the Pope will step down at the end of the month? What difference does it make to you? Do you think it might be a turning point for the Catholic Church? We were just talking about modernity and Catholicism just now. Do you think that the next Pope might usher the way towards that, or does it not really matter to you at all? Are you past thinking what the Pope might do and worried more about American Catholicism? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take a quick call from Rachel from Andover. You're on the air, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I actually agreed with the initial comments from Dr. Fiorenza that, this Pope was Pope John Paul II's right-hand man, and I think when he saw Pope John Paul in the end of his papacy, that how much he was failing and his health was failing, that maybe he's recognized that in himself and feels like this is the time to turn it over to someone who is more physically capable at this point. That was my initial feeling when I heard this morning.
Rachel, do you mind if I ask you, are you Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, and so what would you like to see in the person who will succeed Benedict as Pope? What kind of Pope do you want for your church?
I have to say, my husband and I talk about this all the time, that we would really like to see somebody from one of the countries that is really up and coming in Catholicism. We talk about the South American countries, the African countries, the Asian countries. Those are the places where Catholicism is thriving. And I really do think that it would be a breath of fresh air to see a pope from one of those countries to lead our church. And you were talking about modernity, and, our church is couched in a modern society. We need somebody who understands that and can bring us through it, but also also bring us together as Catholics throughout the world.
Rachel, thank you so much for your call. Professor Fiorenza and Schmalz, I can't leave this conversation without asking you some specific questions about the clergy sex abuse crisis, because we are speaking here in Boston. And I'm wondering how much you think, you know, that worldwide crisis really affected Benedict's papacy. I mean, there have been disclosures such that, in 1985, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he signed a letter that was put off efforts to defrock a convicted child molesting priest. I mean, that's just one of a number of ways in which he has been embroiled significantly in this controversy. So, Professor Schmalz, let me start with you. What effect has that had?
Well, a decisive effect, because for Benedict, the authority of the priest is central. And what we have with the sexual abuse scandal is a fundamental undermining of the authority of the priest and the relationship that the priest has with his parishioners. And so for Benedict not only to sort this out intellectually and theologically, but to deal with it personally, has been a tremendous challenge. And I think he's found that at every stage, he has misjudged or public opinion and the depth of hurt and pain that this scandal has caused.
Professor Fiorenza?
Yeah, I agree basically with that. I mean, I think when the history of his papacy is written, people are going to say that was the most latent, so to say, crisis that the church was facing during his papacy, like another pope is pope during World War One or during World War Two, but that was this was the crisis during his time. I would say I think he has been a quick learner. When the Boston scandal first broke out, he sort of blamed the press, but when he became pope, he acted against the head of the Legionnaires of Christ and defrocked him, where John Paul II did not.
Professor Fiorenza,
learning during his papacy.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I do apologize for jumping in on you there, but we've got just about 45 seconds to go. And I do have one question, which I hope it doesn't sound too ignorant, but in this day and age, especially regarding Catholicism in America, does it really matter who the Pope is?
It's because the Pope is not only a person who teaches, but is a powerful symbolic figure. And Catholicism, in all its diversity, is often oriented toward, or at least oriented in relation to, the figure of the Pope himself.
And
it
Professor,
wouldn't matter if he would say, I think we should have woman priests. That would do so much for the status of woman within the Roman Catholic Church. It would make a decisive difference. And a Pope can do that.
Professor Francis Schussler Fiorenza is a professor of Roman Catholic Theological Studies at Harvard Divinity School. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you for having us.
And Professor Matthew Schmalz at the College of the Holy Cross, where he writes and teaches about comparative religions and South Asian studies. Professor Schmalz, thank you for your time as well.
Thank you for inviting me.
And listeners, continue this conversation. What do you think you want to see in the next pope for the worldwide Roman Catholic Church? Let us know at radioboston.org. But for now, stick with us, because coming up, we're going to talk about braises and stews. Perfect for this weather. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.